Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What a shocking trade today from the New York Jets. I didn't think they had the guts. Good for them. Muji showing he doesn't mess around. I love how he works in silence. Aaron Glenn as well, I'm sure, identifying, look, Sauce Gardner, a good player, but he's not fitting into what we're trying to do here. Plus the idea that maybe it was just, hey, we got two first-round picks for him. Like, yes, please, thank you. Two first-round picks, and you get a wide receiver. You know, Costos was texting me as well, saying the Jets bleeping smoke that, you know, Costos with his foul mouth. Jets bleeping smoke that trade. Also talking about Mitchell as a receiver has a ton of upside. You'll like that.
No, so, okay.
But you get a receiver back that maybe could be of use. These are the type of trades that change the trajectory of a franchise. It seems harsh. Oh, my kid's favorite player. Oh, we love Sauce, and he was one of our guys, and great corner, and highly rated by PFF, whatever. These are the type of trades, though, that you look at, and you get two first-round picks and a wide receiver back. You could have three potentially, now they got a hit on those draft picks, but three potentially useful pieces that come into a new culture that Aaron Glenn's trying to build, not here and enduring the losing and all that negativity that Sauce has for years.
Yep.
This is a great day, I think, for the New York Jets.
I'm really, really, truly stunned, and I'm really, really, truly pumped. I mean, to break free of the chains of torture, you got to be bold here. I mean, the Jets aren't going to end this run of futility by nickel and diamond. Well, you know, let me take a flyer on this nickel corner in the fifth round out of TCU. You've got to line things up. You've got to look in the mirror. You've got to be very honest in your self-assessment. And you've got to say to yourself, by the time, and I'm sure this was part of the evaluation with Muji, by the time we're really, really good, they don't even have a quarterback yet, by the time we're championship caliber good, where is Sauce as a player? And I think that factors into this. And by the way, Muji here, you know, we focus so much on the head coach once the season starts. You know, I did this on the pod last week. He drafts Membu, who has been phenomenal on the right side. He drafts Mason Taylor, who's been really, really solid as a young tight end second round. He traded Brownlee from the Tennessee Titans, which enabled him to trade Michael Carter, and Brownlee has been very good. He fleeced them. He got Stevens. Now, Stevens was somebody, he signed him as a free agent and he, from the Ravens as a corner, was not playing well the first two games. The last six games, whatever it means to you, whatever, that's up to you. He's graded really, really, really well. And they found a punter in McNamara, who's 24 years of age, who ranks high in whether it's net, whether it's hang time, whether it's pinning opponents inside the 15, the 10, the 5, all the different increments. So even the Justin Fields deal is structured smartly, where it's a nominal commitment to their starter. We think he's the starter. He won't really tell us, but we'll see eventually anyway. If he plays this Sunday, I think he will. So that's not a lot of money to Justin Fields if and when you move on from him. So now you get two first-round picks, which you can – and it's not just two. You can take one of them and then get four more picks, right, or you can take one of them and shoot up the draft board to get the guy that you absolutely love as the quarterback. None of this guarantees anything. But, again, trying to inch toward relevance was doing nothing. This is a bold move, and Muji has had a really good couple of months. I'm impressed.
Think about the clean start that we've had here with the Jets. You fire everybody, you hire a general manager, hire a head coach, build it from the ground up. And then in year one, obviously the 0-7 wasn't great, but they finally get their first win. Okay, and now you get a general manager that is aggressive here, moving on from a piece. The easy thing to do would have been, well, we got Sauce Gardner, he's a talented quarterback, let's try to build and win with him. The more challenging thing to do, but the better move, is to say, I want my own guys in here. Why am I committing to a guy who's been underperforming, who's been part of a losing culture for a long time here? Well, now they get to evaluate him for the first, you know, seven games, whatever it is that he's played so far this year. I know the injury. So you evaluate him. You see that maybe he's not all that you thought he could be or would be. You also know that the return that you're getting is astronomical for a corner. I don't care if it's a top corner or not. Two first-round picks for a new regime to say, let me pick my type players with AG and bring them in, not to mention you get a receiver on top of it. I don't know how you can't think this is a slam dunk every which way for the Jets. And it's exciting to have. Now, the Muji will be judged on what he does with those picks. Not only those picks, but what he does in the next couple of drafts. But that's what you want, a new GM to come in, stockpile some picks here, clean out the mess, evaluate what you have, and then he's going to have to hit. If you do that, now that's how you turn a losing franchise around. That it's a beautiful move. Now he's got to, on top of that, make sure that he hits here and starts to bring in some players that fit the culture. They start to win some games, and then the rest would be his.
And I'd be surprised if he's done for the day. We'll find out. He got a couple hours, obviously, for Eastern deadline. I mean, I would trade him, Sal. Yeah. I'm not going to give him big money.
What about Garrett?
Garrett, I would keep. Garrett Wilson, I would keep. I think that it's...
You get a couple first-rounders. See ya!
Yeah, I mean, if that's... If you're gonna... Dude, if I'm gonna walk away today with, you know, four first-rounders, I don't think you need to... I mean, you answer the phone, and you're open to everything. Now, of the two, I always valued Garrett Wilson more. There's just, you know... And I do think that Boldy hit on something really important. It's not that Sauce was a bad culture guy, and even said he was the first on the field. I think that Gardner was really well-intentioned. I think he really, what he did really well, he was great at. The problem was, as the league found out what he couldn't do well, you know, they just ran right at him. They got him away from the sideline, which every corner likes to use as a boundary. But for him particularly, he's much better along the sidelines than in the middle of the field because he's not strong. And he was getting more and more handsy, and the flags were coming after they were swallowed. Usually you would think that it would be the opposite. They would throw flags early as a rookie when you're grabbing people, and as you get some respect, now they start swallowing it. The opposite, they let him do it as a rookie. Either way, I think it's a very forward vision. I think it's definitely bold. I am all for trading. You want Quinnen Williams? You can have him. Let me just tell you right now, here's who I would not trade: the left tackle, the right tackle, Garrett Wilson, and Mason Taylor. And I think that that's it. You want somebody, call me. Let's talk shop.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And now Jet fans have a new thing to root for, because not only are you going to root for your team to win some games here and try to build a different winning culture with Aaron Glenn, you're also going to be rooting for the Colts to lose because you want better picks or a better pick. The number ones, one in the 2026 draft and then one in 2027.
And that's one of the things we were talking about during the break. Like, okay, you know, Daniel Jones had a really good year. Obviously didn't play great this past weekend against the Steelers. But it's not like Andrew Luck is there or Peyton's there, where this team is guaranteed to win 13, 14 games a year. You don't know. I mean, who knows what that becomes down the road. And as soon as we went to break, Hoff came in. He was on the phone. Boldy, phone's ringing. Obviously, news breaking. So it's pretty nuts here. We'll get these Jet calls. Can't wait to get to the Jet fans today. But he said what I had said. He didn't hear me say because he was busy. That was my point about, you have to wonder if this was done with intention, meaning let's sign him with the intention to trade him, because you're not getting a singular first-round pick, let alone two, if Sauce doesn't have a contract. So now we can make the case that's also a risky move, because if you do that with the intention to move him, if you believe that that's possible, which I do, well, if he played so horrendously that nobody wanted him or he got hurt, now you're stuck with a bad deal for a guy who's overrated and you don't get the first-round picks. I believe, based on Muji's early moves, this guy strikes me as the next level thinker. I would not be stunned that this was pre-planned and this is orchestrated.
I'm not going to go as far as to say I think he signed him with the intent to trade him, but I think you sign him knowing that you still could trade him, that there's value there if need be. If he turns out to be great and you think that he's a valuable piece to this team moving forward, great. You keep him and you get him at a deal that you're comfortable with. If not, he's certainly a tradable piece, which obviously he is tradable because they just got two first-round picks. But I can't say that we don't know. It's your opinion versus my opinion or our thought. We have no idea what he's doing. I can't say. I don't think that would be smart business to sign a guy with the intent to trade him. You could sign him saying, in the event that I might need to trade him, this is a tradable deal. That is different than saying, we're going to trade him, let me sign him now and try to maximize the return.
I'm just, either way, and we might not ever know the answer. I'm just surprised. Like, you know, I remember saying when Aaron Glenn came in, I'm like, of all the players on the roster, don't you think from Aaron's perspective, I remember Aaron Glenn saying, I've watched every rep of every defensive player taken last year. And I believe that. The guy's doing his homework, doing his due diligence. If you're Aaron Glenn, having played that position, don't you think that you would have the best read on Gardner coming into the season than any other player. So,
yeah. And then getting to coach him, though, is a different story,
yeah,
too. And
yeah, scheme. Yeah, it is. It is. And I think he's very coachable. I just think that he's not what we thought he was. So, wow. Very, very interesting day for the Jets. I love it.
Eddie,
absolutely love it.
Eddie calling from Vernon, New Jersey. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Ed.
Yo, what's up, BT and Sal?
Eddie.
I want to talk about Sauce Gardner. We can start calling him Gravy Gardner now.
Well, he's gone, Gardner, now. We can start calling him nothing because he's going to be irrelevant as far as we're concerned in New York.
Yeah, but it was the sauce and gravy thing.
And we remember.
The argument.
Yeah,
we remember.
I get it.
I know you do.
Yeah.
We got it.
Love you guys.
Oh.
Do you like the trade?
I like the trade. I don't mind two first rounders, of course.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, you like gravy sauce argument more than you do care about the football stuff. Well, I'm all for having fun. I mean, we're talking about a serious trade here, a shocking trade. Eddie, the first call up messing around about the sauce guy and gravy stuff.
Like, one of the bigger trades we've had in a long time here.
It's a massive deal.
It's huge.
Two first round picks coming back plus a wide receiver with potential.
Right now, the Jets are third on the draft board. And, you know, I mean, remember, they're still trying to recover some of the assets they gave up for Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, they are in a hole. They're in a big hole here for a long time. And the way you do that, if you trust the people in your building, is you let them do things that might be a little too aggressive in the eyes of some. I love it because you never get off the treadmill by standing still.
Let Muji cook. And by the way, this also, now again, we don't know the inner workings. We know the reports on the inner workings of the Jets, and we've heard about the dysfunction for years. But think about it this way. Maybe Woody Johnson, like, to me, if anything, Woody would have an affinity for Sauce. Player they drafted.
Yeah. Remember he was wearing the big chains?
Yes. Get big chain. Give him a contract. He's a guy that represents some of the good, like one of the young players that the Jets drafted and hit on, even though I think he's a bust, like, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
relative to expectation. The fact that he wouldn't get in the way of a trade like this, to me, is also a great thing, meaning I would bet that Woody was as far away from this one as possible. Now, I'm sure the deal ultimately had to go through him, but I'm glad that it got approved and this wasn't one of those that we find out in a year from now or 6 months. Muji tried to make a trade and Woody said no, he loves Sauce too much or his son likes playing with him on Madden, so they couldn't trade him for two first-round picks for the Colts. This is a big trade that when you get the approval of the owner like that, I think that that's a good thing as well, staying the hell out of the way.
We would have had to stuff Woody in a locker if he got his fingerprints on this. Stay out of the way. Let the football people make some moves. Come on, Wood. Good job.
You know what I mean? He could have. Hold on. I got three people talking to me at once here, Dove. He could have impacted it. What were you saying, Dove?
I guess his Madden rating went down. So he said, okay.
Thank you. I was just looking at the Colts schedule as well. Colts play the Falcons in London.
Let's go, Falcons.
At the Chiefs.
KC, hail Chiefs.
Home against the Texans.
Let's go, Texans.
At Jaguars.
Come on, Jags.
At Seattle. Actually, a very
Seattle's
difficult.
Good.
Yeah, home against the Niners.
Okay.
Jags again, and then tough at
schedule.
The Texans.
Let's go.
All of a sudden, that pick can be...
I feel alive. I'm not going to lie to you. I do feel alive, at least pertaining to the Jets. I got a little invigorated today, Sal. Let's go.
Angelo calling from Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Angelo?
I like it.
Yeah, guys, I got home from cataract surgery, and I read the news, and I was like, somebody pinch me.
How'd you read the news? Read it or you heard it? You read it right after surgery?
I heard it, read it. A friend texted me. I was like, this can't be real.
It's
two
real.
First rounders for a guy that can't even tackle me. I mean, I'm loving this trade. I'm going to get a Muji jersey tomorrow. Plus, Donnie Mitchell. Plus, I think he was a first or a second round pick. This Mitchell kid.
I don't know much about him. I'm familiar with the name. I can't. I'd be lying, Angelo. And thank you for the call. If I said I knew a lot about him, Costos texted he has potential. I have no idea where he was.
What's
drafted.
His name again? I'm so
AD
focused.
Mitchell.
Well, I'm sorry?
AD Mitchell.
Mitchell. I'm so focused on the big stuff. Man, I mean, imagine if they actually got a receiver out of this. That's
this
good,
has been
too.
Talked about for a while AD. Now that they were hoping to trade, or a lot of fans wanted AD Mitchell to be traded to somewhere around here.
Yeah.
Because the Colts had no interest in playing him, but supposedly...
So, the Giants wanted them, you're saying?
I think a lot of Giants fans, I think a lot of fans across the NFL were looking for AD Mitchell to come to their team.
Really? 6'2", 205, 23, pick. Young kid, Georgia, Texas, played, you know, bounced around a little bit.
Second round pick in 2024. Dude.
Yeah, he's young. Let's see. The last couple of games here. You know, whatever. I had three for 96 against the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers aren't going to blow you away, but it's just what he can potentially do.
Okay.
I mean, look, if you're taken in the second round of the draft not too long ago, I mean, there's some potential there.
Yes.
This is not just some, like, third receiver scrub the rest of the way. You got to take it in the second round. There's some potential that maybe the Jets you hope to unlock here. And it's certainly a department that they needed to upgrade. So who knows about A.D. Mitchell? That's not why you make the trade. You make it because of the top two picks that you're getting. But to have a receiver with potential in as well, that is a home run deal. All right, let's take a break. We'll take a quick break, come back with more of your calls on the Jets stuff and on the Giants trade deadline. What, Hoff?
Oh, just a reminder, this is what the biggest issue was about him.
What?
He cost the Colts a game by fumbling on the end zone.
What do you mean?
According to Gallo.
Oh, he was that the Cardinals?
Yes, and that's why everyone wanted him gone after that.
Well, we'll
yes.
take him. Just don't do it for us. Learn your lesson, buddy. We're good.
What game was that again? Do you remember the game? I'm getting it mixed up.
I can't remember. Was it the Broncos game?
Because
Gallo had the information.
Hey, he found the end zone. That's a good thing.
He stepped in there. He just forgot to bring the ball.
I'm sure he'll never make that mistake again. You better not. All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Real quick, the perfect parlay pick segment recap. You never gave picks.
I was sick as a dog, bro. You can still hear it. He was sick, too, for a couple
days. He sent his picks in.
Oh, he sent them in?
Not to me. He texted them, and then I was thinking, should they even count? Like, maybe a part of the perfect parlay appeals, you have to be here to do it. Either way, you never sent your picks in.
No.
He sent his in. He lost anyway. I lost anyway on the Giants. So, no harm, no foul.
But
you missed you missed an opportunity.
That's true. I missed an opportunity.
I went 2-1.
Win again.
He went 2-2. You went 0 for 0.
So. And the funny thing is, I was laying in bed, and I'm like, I want to get these picks in. And then I'm like, I was going to actually, just to keep the spirit of the competition, because I couldn't get out of bed. I'm like, I'm not digging. So I'm not looking at scores. I'm just not doing it. I was going to text you. Just take like the first two games that pop up on the app and give me the two dogs, whoever they are. I couldn't even do that. I just couldn't muster it up. So.
All right. Either way, no stand and no change in the standings. 155 for Hoff, 90 for me, 40 for UBT. We'll get back at it ahead of week 10 coming up on Friday. Let's get back to the calls here. Rock is on Long Island talking about his. What the heck? I can't do that. Sorry. Bad beeping there. Rock was on hold for a while.
That was Summers, actually.
God, that hurt my ears. That was loud. Rich is calling from Saddlebrook, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
What's up, guys? I get wanting to get rid of Sauce. I get it. There was a couple concussions there. The play is tailed off. But, man, it is completely sobering to think how far we really are from competing. And then you look at the Colts. They're 7-2. Maybe the best team in the AFC. These picks are going to be in the high 20s, maybe the next 2 years. It's not that exciting.
Yeah, where the Giants get Dart? Where the Giants get Dart?
Are we sure Dart's the guy? You got more confidence in that than me. New coach next year.
Yeah, no, but that's, listen, yeah, I got it. Maybe I like him more than you. That's fine. But you can't tell me that he's not, at the very least, on the lowest scale of measurement, very, very interesting. And I think he's 5 miles past that. You know, that's all I'm saying. So, to me, the more...
DT,
doesn't
this feel like the Jamal Adams trade again, which yielded no results?
No.
You know what I mean? We traded Adams for these picks. Tell me what feels different about that.
Yeah, well, number one, you've got different people making those picks, so I can't associate absolute failure with a new regime who has not... It's not fair to them. Like, I don't operate under that mindset. Well, the Jets never do anything well. No matter who's running the show, they'll never win or draft the right guy. Otherwise, what the hell are we watching the games for?
Rich, how many games has Sauce Gardner help you win?
Not that many. I get it. My father always tells me we can lose without him.
There you go.
You know what I mean, we were losing with him. We can lose without him.
Now you're right, Rich. And thank you for the call. Good stuff. Good back and forth. And we appreciate the difference of opinion here. But you're right in that what good are the picks if you don't hit on them? That's the key. He's got to now hit on those picks. However, holding on to Sauce Gardner or even Jamal Adams years ago, that to me would have been a stupid move. And I love Jamal Adams. I loved him as a player. Obviously, he turned out to have a disastrous career. It was a total bust.
Oh, so, when he first got here, I loved him. I was a huge fan.
I loved him. I loved the pick.
Every Jet fan did.
Right. So, I hated the idea that you would even have to be in a spot that you had to trade him. Unfortunately, the Jets are in a spot now where there's no use of keeping Sauce Gardner. Not to mention that I think he's overrated and a bust anyway. But even if you say, well, he's good in coverage and he grades out well, that's great. He's not helping them win games. The two picks plus a receiver could potentially help them win games. And I'd, in theory, rather have a new GM pick three players, which he did in this case, one with A.D. Mitchell, two with his draft picks, then keep a guy that's a holdover regardless of how good he is, especially if you're not winning any games.
Yeah, it's just very confusing that the new regime gave him the contract extension. It wasn't a holdover. He didn't absorb that, but that's a different element of the discussion. Yeah, I pretty much agree with that. The other thing, too, is because there's no guarantee that you're going to pick the right guys, clearly. And, yeah, I mean, Gardner might go there, different scheme, better team, go back to being an old pro, and Jet fans will be squawking forever and crying about this, which I won't. I'm going to live in the – I'm not just going to live in the moment of being happy with something. Like, I love this. Like, you were out on Gardner a while ago. I was late to the party, but definitely eventually got to the party of this guy's overrated. Now, you and I were going to bet Jamar whatever, Chase, yeah. And that was a fun debate. It was all over the map. It was nuts. It was loud, whatever. I know he can cover, but he just doesn't do enough. So I was open to moving on from him. And those things are debatable and subjective. What's not debatable, though, aside from the draft capital you get, now the Jets also are going to help reset their finances a little bit here.
Right.
So, again, I'm not getting weedsy on the salary cap because so much of this is fungible. But I'm looking at it now. Right now the Jets have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll just give you the basic thumbnail sketch. The sixth most cap space going into 2026. Chargers, Titans, Raiders, Rams, Commanders, then the Jets at around $80 million. The cap will go up, and this is without the adjustment of cap's number coming off the books. Now, I don't know what the Jets will absorb based on the trade and accelerating stuff. Who the hell knows? The NFL finances confuse the heck out of me, but I can promise you they're not going to go higher. They're going to get a little more financial solvency here. So whether it's more money to spend, more draft picks to do, another receiver to gauge, see if you... I mean, this is fantastic. Yeah. I'm more pumped by the second.
This is one of those, you know how I always talk about, I don't just make my opinion based on the results. The results down the road may not turn out to be favorable. Maybe Sauce Gardner goes and has an all-pro career and wins a Super Bowl with the Colts. Maybe Muji picks two bust players with those two picks. I'm not worried about the results right now. Eventually, they're going to be judged on the results of those. In the moment, this move on the surface, regardless of the result, how they do with the draft, to me, couldn't be more of a home run for all the reasons you mentioned. They get two picks, two top picks, a receiver, and they shed a salary of a player who was underperforming at the very least. Come on.
Here's the other thing that
if they would have gotten one first-round pick, I would have been excited about it.
I may have been, too. Like, if it was first and third, I would be like, yeah, good stuff.
Two firsts?
It really is amazing. And I understand that certainly this year, they'll be. I mean, right now, they've got, well, I think it's the best record in the NFL, I think. So, but we'll see. Whether they're 20th or 15th, whatever it's going to be next year, we'll worry about that. What this does to me, too, is signal to the, and nobody said this yet, so I'll be the first to say it. This signals a mindset, which should be energizing to Jet fans, where, and I mentioned some of the moves before, whether it's the Brownlee move, a little lower level, small move in season, a massive franchise altering move in season. Doesn't that tell the Jet fan right now that the general manager is bold, is proactive, he thinks outside the box?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that at least give you the belief that this is the right man? The belief, I don't know yet, but the belief that this is the man for the job? Yeah. It does me. It's a different mindset. It
takes guts to make a move like that as well. Wes is calling from Little Egg Harbor. What's up, Wes?
Hey, fellas, what's going on? Calling about the trade. Sauce Gardner fired up about it. I got to tell you, fired up. As a Jet fan, I could finally come out of hiding. I could wear my Jets gear again. You know what I mean? This is good stuff. Two first-round picks? Absolutely. Let me tell you, Sauce Gardner's been living in Revis's shadow since he's got there. How many interceptions does Sauce Gardner have throughout his whole entire tenure as a Jet? Okay? Last week, we won against Cincinnati. He wasn't there. We won without him. We don't need him. We're good.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if Jets aren't good, but yes, when you say good, you're meaning you're prepared to move on from Sauce. Now, I think it's all, as am I, I think it's unfair, like, and nobody's doing this necessarily. It's not all his fault that the team's an utter dysfunctional clown show mess. I mean, you know, he tried his best the first year. He was great. Year two, he was pretty good. Then it got worse. But maybe he got wrapped up in the losing. Maybe he's just not what we thought would have. Maybe the league figured him out. It's not all his fault. Nobody's remotely saying that. It takes, you know, multiple players and the right scheme and the right coaches to change this thing in the NFL. But I am at least open to change because you didn't win with him. And, you know, if the defense was dominant and they were still losing because the offense was terrible, like, that's one thing. But the defense hasn't even been that good with him. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. So, expendable in my eyes. No doubt about it.
100%. And that's why we think it's a great trade. Manny is calling from Far Rockaway. What's up, Manny?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
I got to – first of all, we completely fleeced the Colts. Got to give it to Muji. Great, great move. Real quick point about A.D. Mitchell. I don't know if you remember. This was a draft where they took Malachi Corley, the previous regime.
Yeah, that's right.
The Jets put out a video, and they're trying to trade up for him. And Joe Douglas is saying when the Colts took him before, he's like, oh, thank God they took him, not our guy.
I don't remember. Maybe that was the name, huh? I don't remember that. Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
point.
Malachi was the yak guy, right? The yak king, they called him in college. What's he doing? Yeah, I know.
He's the one who dropped the
I know. Through the end zone. I know. Yeah, so I don't remember that little tidbit there from the war room here. But, you know, a lot of these times we evaluate, like, the big-ticket items. You know, a lot of times, you know, I mean, I don't know, if a lot. Maybe that's overstating. But sometimes you get something back where it's a little bit of a throw and a filler, and it winds up being, you know, a piece of the puzzle during winning years for a team.
Hoff, what were you saying about Art Stapleton here?
Yeah, he just put out a tweet, and I know he doesn't cover the Jets, but he covers the Giants, and so he's in the know with some places. And he said, the Jets did not sign Sauce Gardner to trade him.
That's what he said? So he debunked
that? That's all he said.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it just doesn't make sense. You wouldn't sign a player to trade him. Like I said, you can have the thought process of, I'm going to sign this guy and know that if I needed to trade him, it's still a tradable contract, maybe something like that. And I don't know if this was that particular case. But either way, who cares how we got here? We got here. And to me, this is the best thing for the New York Jets organization and football team and Aaron Glenn and Muji. It's not to rip Gardner to shreds. It's that it wasn't working here for a variety of reasons. They can lose 7 games without him. So you don't need him. And if you could turn that into 2 first-round picks plus a wide receiver, oh, my God. The Jets need more good players. And with more picks and bringing in a wide receiver, and to your point, BT, shedding that salary now, it's easier for you to bring in more players with Muji and Aaron Glenn that are going to fit what they are trying to do.
And I'm very curious what happens the rest of the day here. We got a couple of hours. I mean, Jermaine Johnson's been rumbling. He's been in rumors here. Will McDonald, maybe Breece Hall. We've obviously talked about that. I don't think Garrett Wilson's going anywhere. And I do think it's important to, you know, have one guy that you draft and develop just for a cultural perspective. But hey, listen, the shop is open. Cole Mooch, this guy likes to make trades. I love it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
Oh,
we got Baldy here on the line. Dude, you'll love this. This is giving me goosebumps.
Oh,
Colts are trading 2 first round picks.
You
to the
gotta
Jets.
Be kidding me, Sal. This is fantastic, baby. Let's go. Hey, give me some, Huff. This is the day.
Why are you hitting me?
Easy, Huff. He's fragile over there.
We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, I didn't think they had it in them.
Wow.
I'm pleasantly surprised here. Give us your initial reaction to hearing Sauce Gardner traded to the Colts.
I mean, I'm surprised. I really am. I thought he was going to be a core player for a long time with this organization, especially Aaron Glenn being a former corner with the Jets and the relationship you thought has not played great, certainly over the last two seasons.
The only way to really change the culture is to change the roster and rid yourself of the players, even if they're good players like Sauce or potentially Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall. Don't you think that that expedites the process here and it's something to be you could be excited about from a Jets perspective, trying to clean house and bring in new players?
Well, we've seen the Jets with four first-round draft picks. They didn't change much at one point in their careers. I mean, it depends on what you're doing with them and what kind of players you're bringing in.
All right, I'm just reading some tweets here, of course, Call of the Day. In case you missed anything, check out on the free Odyssey app. Connor Hughes of SNY talking about how there are teams still interested in Breece Hall. Quinnen Williams, a name to watch.
Quincy.
Quincy as well.
And Quinnen, yeah.
Jermaine Johnson. Yeah. He's also, and I'm sure that there are some people that get into this idea. Well, you know, the Jets get these draft picks, and now they're going to try to use those draft picks to draft a player like Sauce Gardner. No, in this particular case, what you're trying to do, this is year one of a total rebuild. Strip it down to the studs and rebuild it. Get anybody in here that was a part of the stench before out. That would be my philosophy. You want to keep Garrett Wilson, whatever. But anybody that's got any value, get something for it. Now you are in a position of power. Now, what Muji and Glenn do with it is going to ultimately determine if the Jets are able to turn this thing around. Or if those guys are going to be fired, I'm going to be back in the same cycle again that we've been over time and time again. But you want to put yourself in a position of power. Clean slate, rookie GM, rookie head coach, starting fresh from year one. Forget about the wins, losses. Try to build this thing the right way. Now you stockpile a couple of first-round picks, get a wide receiver with potential, maybe more to come. But either way, you get your next draft. It's all your draft again. You could also trade up to get a quarterback. Like, this is a position of power. This move is the beginning of the Jets setting themselves up very nicely here for the next few years as far as taking a run at turning this whole thing around.
The Jets have become power brokers all of a sudden in an incredibly unconventional and unexpected way here. They're power brokers in the sense that this extra draft stock and cupboards filling, if you will, they could do things in 2026 that they couldn't do before this trade was made necessarily. Same for 2027.
Right.
I don't know who's out there, but if there's a quarterback that is maybe disgruntled behind the scenes for a team that's already really good around the NFL, and I don't mean like a veteran retread. I mean, hey, listen, Matthew Stafford was dealt. Who the hell knows what could happen anymore? So
Goff was dealt to the Lions, change everything around there.
No doubt about it. This can put themselves at the central part of any meaningful quarterback discussion, either collegiately or current players now, really for the next couple of years. So this opens things up. Awesome.
Not to mention, but we will again, that it's not like Sauce Gardner was Darrell Revis. When the Jets traded Revis, we were talking about, like, Revis is the best player, certainly the best corner, and the Jets were maybe in a little bit of a different spot back then. I remember not loving that, or even the Jamal Adams thing. This is different. Sauce Gardner was underperforming. And the idea you would be able to move on from him and save cap space and save financial flexibility and get two top first-round picks back and a third and a wide receiver. Not to mention, I'm not sold that the Colts are going to have one of the best records. Right now they have one of the best records. We went over the schedule before. Not that easy. Like, I could see things falling off a little bit for the Colts.
Can they lose two out of three at some point? Sure, I don't think that they're above that. Matter of fact, I almost expect them to. And you're right, they do get cash, which we don't really care about. That's more of a Woody thing.
Yeah, but you could use that elsewhere.
Yeah, but they get a lot of cap space, which is something that you and I were watching during the break here. Sets them up. Awesome. Phenomenal.
Eddie is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Ed?
What's up, Ed?
Hey, BTS, I love you guys. It's a great day for the Jets.
It is.
Who's questioning this, man? It's a lost season, man. We got you just explained it perfectly, Sal. Everything we got for this guy. And that makes me wonder, were there pitchers and a foreman that were involved in this? I mean, you got to be kidding me, man. Keep it going, bro. I want to keep Jermaine Johnson. I want to keep Will McDonald. The old line, like BC State. I want to keep those guys. Everybody else, Garrett, yeah, we'll keep him. But everybody else, keep it going. Go, don't stop now. Keep it going.
Well, it's good job, Ed. Good passion. It's on Muji and Glenn, and this is what happens in year one when they're evaluating what they have inherited here. It's on them to identify, this could be anybody. I don't care if they have value or not. Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald. It's on them to decipher whether they believe those guys are worth investing in long-term, keeping them here, being part of the turnaround, or saying, you know what, it's not worth it. I'd rather get whatever pick we could get back. Breece Hall, same thing. Like, is he going to be part of the turnaround? I'm okay with whatever they decide to do, but that's what needs to happen. Those guys evaluating their players for the first 8 weeks of the year.
That's a big part of it, and that's a really important part, and it's not you can watch tape until you're in the building and on the field every day, seeing the habits, whatever. The ability to elevate teammates. You know, this is very interesting to me, because I always thought, I never looked at it in this term, but I had Patino on the Unkillable podcast. You're like, why would you? He's not even a Jets fan. Well,
told you I like that one.
Yeah, you did see that. I think that's the only one you watched. There you go. So I wanted Rick on to talk about how do you build a culture? Because, again, we ask the question all the time. Where do you start? Where do you start? And I was always under the mindset the best way to build a culture is to get rid of the bad guys, the me guys. And that's the obvious stuff, the selfish people. Now, Sauce is not a selfish guy. He's not a bad guy. He's not even a me guy. He's just not a Glenn guy necessarily. And that's why the real-time evaluation of the roster, I give them so much credit for cutting the cord with somebody that, while every call we've taken so far has been favorable, and the results or the reaction on social media has been overwhelmingly the Jets crushed it, there will be some dissenting views, people who do love Sauce and maybe think he's better than you and I do, and they're going to have a problem with that. You can't factor that in. He's a good guy, but he didn't fit, and that's okay.
And they weren't winning with him. It's not. Yeah, you're right. He's not a bad person.
It's okay.
Yeah, he wasn't. They weren't winning with him. Like, I hate the idea, and it pertains to the Mets as well. Like, okay, well, all these guys had big years. Bring them all back.
Yeah.
No, it can't just be the easy thing. Well, yeah, statistically, they had decent years. Bring them all back. What do you think is going to change with that? So, like, statistically, you could look at Sauce and say, well, here's how he grades out. And, oh, I can't give up him because he's the one rare guy that the Jets have hit on when they had a top selection. No, these are the type of difficult decisions that need to be made to start the process of turning this thing around. It's not an easy thing. He's a very popular player, I'm sure, within the locker room, within the fan base. We know about that, and we know that he could be an effective player based on some of the metrics. Also, you know, if you watch him, he's been disappointing from what he was supposed to be, but let that now be the Colts' problem. Point is, it's a very difficult thing to do, and that's why I give Muji and Glenn credit for doing it and executing at a high level, bringing back what they did.
Yeah, that's why I said to Sal before, like, this gives you a look into Muji's mindset. So this should, I think, embolden Jet fans, at least as you get into eventually the offseason. There's a big swing to be taken. Obviously, Muji's not afraid to do it. But now, here's a little sobering just to kind of balance everything out here. So the two first-round picks they got back for Jamal Adams, that equated to Elijah Vera Tucker and Garrett Wilson. Now, see, this is the thing. Joe Douglas actually hit on both of the players. Right. AVT stud, can't stay healthy. Garrett Wilson stud, he's been healthy for the most part, but it hasn't changed the bottom line. All this does is represent opportunity while resetting the finances.
Correct.
And reestablishing the direction of, like, the DNA of the team and the vision of the people who are now building the team.
In year one.
Yeah. It's not year three. That's a good point.
It's not year three. There's not convoluted. The head coach was here, but then he got fired. A new GM came in. It's year one. There's cohesion because it's Muji and Glenn starting this thing together. And in this first year, it's not waiting till year three to figure out Sauce ain't it or whatever it may be. Stockpiling now. In the first year, knowing, okay, we're trying to build the culture, let's win some games. If there's a quarterback that they love in the draft this year, boom, they strike. If not, they pass and wait till next year. Like, that's what you want. The timeline is in a very good spot. It doesn't guarantee anything, but I like this structure and setup being on the same timeline with the new guys here and letting them take their shot at trying to rebuild.
Now, you don't make a move just to, you know, get the vultures away from the carcass here, but think about the conversation really most of this season. Man, Aaron's pretty, he's pretty, we just had the conversation. Yeah. Now, you and I, it doesn't bother us here because we realize what he's trying to do, but it has bothered some people. Man, this guy's really combative for a dude who's won one game. I mean, a little big for your britches there. Well, does anybody care what Aaron Galletta's, like, I was, what he's going to say, or I was going to comport himself at the podium now. It's about the real stuff that matters. An exchange with Rich Cimini about the quarterback and who's starting and what I'm going to tell you and what I'm not going to tell you, what I'm ready to tell you or I'm not ready to tell you. That's all insignificant drivel that piles up for a loser franchise because there's nothing else to talk about. This is the stuff that matters.
But now go beat the Browns on Sunday, and that will help even more start to go in the right direction. Chris is in Jersey City. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I appreciate you guys taking my call. You know, definitely the trade was a big shock to me, that just because it wasn't a name that we were really expecting. But the one thing that kind of comes to my mind, especially with the picks, you know, a lot of people are saying that the Colts are going to be good and then we're going to get these late round, first round picks. My question is this. Do you think that they make a move like this knowing that they are trying to avoid like a Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence kind of draft where they almost played themselves out of the number one pick? I'm kind of coming from the point of view of, like, you know, if they get more first-round picks, and let's say they don't end up with the first overall
they can move up and get them.
Draft, they can move up and get them.
Possible. I mean, is that the impetus? I don't know fully, but it's a possibility.
Or, as you said, go get a veteran quarterback. Not even a veteran quarterback, but somebody that's maybe disgruntled or needs a change of scenery. There are sometimes shocking let's just say it's the first thing that came to mind. I wouldn't want him, but just say that Ben Johnson, by next year, is like, you know what? I've now seen Caleb Williams up close and personal, and I want no part of him. And they decide to move him. Whatever it may be, it happened with the great example you had before with Stafford going from the Lions to the Rams, and then the Lions getting Goff. It changed the fortunes of both franchises. Those things can happen. And when you have that now, you know, equity in draft capital, it puts you more so in play.
It puts you in play because now every big boy conversation, whether it's the first overall pick this year, the first overall pick next year, a quarterback, as we just said, who's maybe disgruntled, even behind the scenes, we might not know about it, who's really, really good and is already in the league. And if he's going to be dealt, the Jets can now centrally insert themselves into every big discussion, and that's how you accelerate progress.
All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Dove, and thanks to Hoff, as always, helping us out. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back again tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Evan and Tiki. They're coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.